Welcome to the Church of Quell Creek podcast, a ministry of the Church of Quell Creek in Amarillo, Texas. Dive in with us as we open God's words and then stick around for a message from our pastor.
As I was planning for this sermon, I thought it was really interesting that this would be the one Sunday in sermon planning that our student body and our collegiates wouldn't be in the room. And it's, I think, God's hand of mercy. So let me start by saying, today we're going to be talking about matters of intimacy. And I promise you I won't make it gross or nasty or anything like that, but if God's word gives us instruction, we need to know about it. And so today, as we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, if you want to begin finding your way there in Scripture, let me just ask you a question. Do you think that God has a plan or even cares about relationships? I mean, you can respond. It's okay. Do you think that God cares or has a plan for relationships? Of course he does. We know that all Scripture is God-breathed and it's useful. What it does is it takes you and I and it gives us encouragement, direction, correction, and it proves us in itself so that you and I will be thoroughly equipped for life. So when we read God's word and we read a particular text that deals with something like relationships, we should take note of it, that God has a plan for relationships. Let's remind ourselves of something. Paul operated in correspondence. So either through writing or through somebody that would come and talk to Paul about what was going on. And at this particular point, Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. And something has alerted him when it comes to relationships. So it is no wonder what we're about to read is a direct response of Paul. Paul will argue that those in foreign temple worship always encouraged people to do one or two things. Make sex nasty and perverted, or to say you shouldn't even marry at all. He argues this in text, and today we're going to see him use similar wording so that the people in Corinth would understand God's plan for relationships. So let's begin. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Now, in response to matters you wrote about, it is good for a man not to use a woman for sex. But because sexual morality is so common, each man should have sexual relations with his own wife, and each woman should have sexual relations with her own husband. A husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise a wife to her husband. A wife does not have the right over her own body, but her husband does. In the same way, a husband does not have the right over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except when you agree for a time to devote yourselves to prayer, then come together again. Otherwise, Satan may tempt you because of a lack of self-control. I say this as a concession, not as a command. I wish that all people were as I am, but each has his own gift from God. One person has a gift and another has that. I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them if they remain as I am. But if they do not have self-control, they should marry, since it is better to marry than to burn with desire. Now listen to what he says. To the married, I give this command. Did you notice that wording, by the way? First it was, this is a concession, not a command, but now it's, I give this command, not I, but who? The Lord. A wife is not to leave her husband, but if she does leave, she must remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And a husband is not to divorce his wife, but I, not the Lord, say to the rest, if any brother has an unbelieving wife and she is willing to leave him, he must not divorce her. Also, if any woman has an unbelieving husband and he is willing to live with her, she must not divorce her husband. For the unbelieving husband is made holy by his wife, and the unbelieving wife is made holy by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but they are holy. But if an unbeliever leaves, let him leave. A brother or sister is not bound in such cases. God has called you to live in peace. Wife, for all you know, you might save your husband. Husband, for all you know, you might save your wife. There is some difficulties in our passage today that I want us to identify. But I want to start with just a careful understanding. Culture always shows its brokenness in matters of intimacy. Culture always shows its brokenness in matters of intimacy. Culture will tell you that as a couple, especially as a Christian couple, and we've heard this, Christian couples don't have sex. Who told us that? Is that what God said in Scripture? Is it? No. What was God's original plan with Adam and Eve? Be fruitful and multiply. There was a plan from the very beginning for intimacy between Adam and Eve. And it worked. Here we are. Though we are vast and different, we all come from a central location, and it's in the garden with Adam and Eve. Now listen, I want you to know something about this issue. When we talk about matters of intimacy, you may feel where you're sitting today like this has already jumped the shark. Like, can you talk about matters of intimacy in church? Where else should we talk about it? God has a plan for it. Who is the author of life? God. And if intimacy is a part of life, who authored intimacy? God did. So let's not allow the world to dictate this word, sex. Let's not allow it to define it. Let's not allow it to pervert it. Because what will happen is anything that God created was holy. And what the world does with holy things is it wants to break it and make it perverted, and it has. Now it sells, it's made people billions of dollars, and we see people literally taken off of their roads and streets and used for it. And if you don't believe that it happens here in Amarillo, Texas, let me just tell you something. We have two major roads that go through our city, and both have been stopped with people trafficking people in Amarillo, Texas. You don't tell me the world hasn't changed this? Paul saw it. He saw it in Corinth, that they had perverted this word sex. And they made it to where you couldn't even talk about it. Isn't that crazy to think that in our lifetime, this is a word that we've discovered that you have to whisper rather than talk about? You know why? We've allowed it to be changed. Because when we hear the word sex, now we think of nastiness. And it wasn't God's plan. In fact, Paul is going to argue with the church in Corinth that, in particular, he starts with men. He said, men, you only have one woman, and it's the only woman you should be intimate with. Jesus later, when he, earlier when he talked about moments of intimacy, he said this, if you even look lustfully upon a woman, you have committed adultery. Some people think that Jesus came and softened the law, as though he erased it completely. I argue that Jesus not only fulfilled it, he stepped it forward. And he gave matters of the heart a great deal of weight. So when Paul is writing to the church in Corinth and he's trying to convince them of matters of intimacy, that God has a plan for it, he has to go to the very base root of what intimacy is. Think of what was happening in Corinth at this time. That people in Corinth were using sex for the wrong motives. And they were perverting it. And Paul's saying, time out. This isn't what God intended for you. Stop where you are. God has a plan, and let me remind you of what it looks like. And so Paul just simply says, don't let culture dictate intimacy. And then he says this in relationship. When you married, you gave your everything to your spouse. It's a model, remember? We get the model in Scripture, and let me remind you of it in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 15, says, pay careful attention then to how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are what? They're evil. So don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless living, but be filled by the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making music with your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. And then he goes into how. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, because the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so wives also are to submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, to make her holy, cleansing her with the washing of water by the word. He did this to present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or anything like that, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands are to love their wives with their own bodies. Who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hates his own flesh, but provides and cares for it just as Christ does for the church, since we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become what? One flesh. This mystery is profound, but I'm talking about what? Christ and the church. To sum up, each one of you is to love his wife as himself, and the wife is to respect her husband. Do you think that God has a plan for relationships? Yes, he does. Here's the issue. Our culture has not only shifted intimacy, but it has made sinfulness okay. As I read Scripture and I look into what God says according to his word, there is two parties in these passages, a husband and a wife. I don't want y'all to confuse this. These are not missed pronouns. These are not missed nouns. God intended there to be a husband, male, a wife, female, and the two of them would be fruitful and multiply. That was God's plan. From the very beginning, God didn't make a mistake with this. He created our bodies to work in concert, to be fruitful and to multiply. So let me tell you how that works. I don't want anybody to ever be confused about what I, as your pastor, believes about this. God made women genetically different than men for a purpose. And only women can bear children. Men cannot. God didn't intend it to work like that. He meant that both parties would join together and have a purpose. And when they do that, they're fruitful and they multiply. That's God's plan. So when we read in 1 Corinthians of how Paul is saying, husbands, here's the thing, you no longer own you. Wives, you no longer own you. You are willful partners to fulfill this purpose with one exception, spiritual. Spiritual reasons. Why would a husband and wife withhold from one another for the sake of prayer? It's not because their prayer life has suffered. It's because something spiritual needs to take place in their relationship. And the only partner that can fix it is God. And when our relationships are focused on God's plan for relationships, intimacy springs forth. It's natural. It's loving. It's a hunger to fulfill the desires of our mates. And Paul is saying, some of y'all have messed this up, and now you're finding other partners. And that's not how Christians are supposed to look. When you marry your partner with all you've got. That's why we stand up here, and I get couples, and I ask them questions like, through sickness and death, will you? And they're like, oh, of course I do. And you're like, liars. Since I've been at the church at Quail Creek, so far, I have married off about 20 couples, of which about 12 are still married. You see, we treat marriage so lightly, don't we? As though we are in charge of what it's supposed to be. Who designed it? God did. If God designed it, don't you think we should do it His way? Absolutely. When I was a kid, I can remember getting Lego sets. And in the Lego set, you'd get this kind of way to build whatever it was, if it was a helicopter or a police car or whatever, and you would go step by step and you would build it exactly how it said to build. And if you did it exactly how it said to build, it was awesome. It functioned exactly how it's supposed to. But let's be honest. Most of us thought that we could do it on our own. And so all of a sudden you would finish what should have been a helicopter that now looks like a house. What's more is, if you ever took that set of Legos and you poured it in with other Legos and threw away the instructions, it got even more difficult to build it exactly the way the original designer intended to create it. Here is our major issue when it comes to intimacy. We keep trying to recreate it our way, but we've mixed the wrong parts in, and it doesn't work. Brokenness is there. The original design has been tampered with, and it doesn't fulfill its original design. If God built intimacy and God built relationships, I think we should follow the design. Then we will fulfill God's purpose for it, and brokenness is nowhere near it. So, as Paul is looking inside this, he simply starts with this thought of, inside of couplehood, submission is a model of our relationship with Jesus. We just read that in Ephesians chapter 5 that Paul tells the church in Ephesus, while I'm talking about a husband and wife, I really mean Christ and His church. If y'all could just model what I created in intimacy, y'all would understand me and you better. But marriages don't always look like that, do they? Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, and please don't. But how many of you in your mind would say, our marriage could use some help? We don't talk like we used to. We don't do things together anymore. We're barely together. It's not God's plan. God's plan is for your marriage to look like Him and His church. I believe the main issue may be this. I believe the main issue is we have forgotten who Jesus is. If we knew who He was, I believe we would act differently towards our spouses. But because we don't, we've done it our way and we've brought other pieces to the puzzle. Let me redirect for a second, because Paul, in the middle of his sermon, in verse 8 says, I say to the unmarried and the widows, it is good for them to remain as I am, but if they don't have self-control, they should marry, since it's better to marry than to burn with desire. Paul was uniquely single at this point. And his argument was, some of you don't have the spiritual wherewithal to be married. Right now, I refuse to marry anybody that I can't sit in a room with and counsel. And I talk hard to couples now. I used to not. I used to just hope that they would kind of get it as they got, you know, went along. But now, about 3 sessions into marriage counseling, I send couples out with one question. I'd like for you to leave, and sometime in this week, I'd like for you to send me a text that simply says, I still want to be married to this person. I said, because if you want out, here's your chance. I will help you. But I can't help you once you're married, because you should marry once for a lifetime. And only once has it ever happened that a couple's ever texted me, I want out. Only once. I told you, I've married over 20 now. About 12 of them are still married. But only once has a couple ever texted me, I still want in. I want to tell you something today. If you're dating or engaged, it's not too late to say, I want out. But I will tell you this, if you've made a covenant before God, you have no out. Let me give you a caveat. In Scripture, it says that there's a reason why couples can divorce, and it's marital infidelity. I will tell you that I can clarify marital infidelity with a few things. Number one is, just as Paul started with, a man should only sleep with his wife. And same, wives should only sleep with their husbands, period. End of story. But there's more marital infidelity than just intimacy. And so I want you to hear from me today something I think is at the very heartbeat of God. I do not believe that a woman should stay with a husband that beats her. I think you should get some help. I'm thankful in my life. That's not where I am. But if you are today, I want to give you a quick tool. Please call the church office. If you're in a relationship that is hurtful to you, and I say that to this room and to anybody that will watch the service later on, if you're in a relationship where you're being harmed, please contact the church office. We want to help you. I think a lot of times people stay in abusive relationships because they don't see a way out. And let me just tell you, you're an unfaithful spouse if you will beat your spouse. You're unfaithful. Because that is not how Christ treats his church. It's not. So call somebody, please. Call us. But Paul needs to tell the church something. Singleness is not a sin. It's not. And today you may be somebody that is gloriously single. One of my favorite student pastors of all time stayed single his whole life. He is a wonderful man who taught me so much about the character of Christ. But he didn't struggle with the same struggles most people struggle with. But he stayed single because he saw it as a gift rather than a sin. And so did Paul. Paul moved easily throughout all the areas he did because he could do so. It would have been different if he was married. And he knew that, and he says that here. But Paul says, if you cannot stay holy, you should marry. And so let me just tell you today, singleness is not a sin. But a lustful life is. A lustful life is absolutely sin. And I just want to finish with a thought. Sin does something. Sin keeps us from peace. Paul talks about the holiness of a household. And he says, wives, you should stay with an unbelieving husband because you may make him holy. It doesn't mean that he will go to heaven because the wife is saved and he isn't. It just means their household is different because she is. And perhaps with her living after Jesus' heart, her husband will be saved eventually. Or an unbelieving wife with a saved husband, perhaps one day she will be saved because he's living out the things of Christ. Too many people go into relationships like they're on the mission field. They're trying to find an unbelieving spouse and hoping to save them through a relationship. I'll tell you what a foolish, foolish action that is. It doesn't mean that we don't know unsaved people. And perhaps one of the greatest things I can ask you today is, do you know any unsaved people? If not, you need to make new friends. But I'll tell you this, inside of God's plan for marriage, how can you echo Christ and his church if one of you is unsaved? Scripture says that's unequally yoked. It means that one partner would pull and try and draw this line in farming, and the other one would try anything but that. If you have two oxen and one tries and one doesn't, you will not carve a straight line. Does God have a plan for relationships? Yes, he designed them. And today, I don't know where you are in your relationship. If you're single, you're a widow, you're married, you're engaged, you're dating. But whatever it may be, let me just remind you of something. In your relationship, you are modeling Christ. And if you're not, If in that relationship you're building a sinful lifestyle, you have to be reminded today, God has a plan for relationships and intimacy, and he wants it to model him. And if it doesn't, he will not change. We must. So I'm going to ask you something today. When is the last time you asked Christ how your relationship is looking? When's the last time you looked at your spouse and said, I'm praying for you and I care for you deeply? When's the last time you showed your spouse a submissive nature of love and appreciation? Today is your day. Maybe today you need to bring your spouse down and y'all need to kneel and pray for one another and ask God to work on your relationship together. Maybe that needs to be you. Maybe you're here without a spouse today. And you feel that hurtfulness of coming to worship without a spouse. And today you're just saying, God, would you heal that? Why don't you pray for your spouse deeply? Maybe today you're single and you're searching for a spouse and you don't know who that may be. Let me just tell you something. How you find the right spouse is simple. Become the spouse you should be, and they'll find you. I promise you that. Search his heart. Follow his way. And allow him to put the puzzle together the right way. No matter what it is, let's ask God for the cleansing from sin that keeps us from peace, that keeps us from living out the plan he has for us. Let's ask him to radically change our hearts, rob us of our sin, and apply Christ's sacrifice for us. And today, we should start living in that peace that comes from him. Let me pray for you today. Heavenly Father, I pray for my friends in this room. As we talk about a subject like intimacy, God, it's one of those that when we're in church, it makes everybody kind of cringe a little bit. Can we talk about that? And God, you made a plan for it. You created it. So why shouldn't we talk about it in context of how you created it? God, I pray for my friends in this room that may be in relationships that are struggling. God, I pray that they would go back to your word, that they would open the manual for life. They would open the Bible and they would start to read about how you want relationships to look. God, I pray for my marriage. And God, I pray that April and I would model exactly what you want us to be towards each other and what the world could see as a marriage that follows after the heart of God. Lord, I pray for my children as they're single and one day may find that mate. But Lord, if they don't, God, I pray that they would live in such peace in being single. God, and that you would cloak them away from sin. God, until a mate shows up or until you put in their heart that they should be single for a lifetime, either way, God, would you protect my children and the children that are in this room and at camp and wherever they may be, God. You made a plan for relationships. And God, it started with a relationship with you. So Lord, would you cleanse our relationship? Remind us of your sacrifice and love for us. And in this moment, Lord, remind us how we can be in perfect peace with you because of Christ. Lord, we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hey, this is Pastor Kyle. I want you to know that I'm praying for you. I'm praying that you see the love that Jesus has for you by paying the price for your sins. I pray that if you haven't already, you would take the time right now to talk to Jesus and ask him to forgive your sins and lead your life from here on out. We would love to talk to you about Jesus and getting to know him better. Contact us by emailing us at info@tcqc.org. tcqc.org. Or by finding us on social media. We would love to meet you. I hope you had a wonderful day, and as always, we would love for you to join us for worship really soon.